Hello, family of God, and welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. Our theme this year is homes and homelessness, houses and the unhoused, thinking about our true home, how Jesus made his home among us, and that he was born not into his parents' home, but was displaced and was often transient throughout his life. Today I want to focus on the ways that God's house is our home, the home that Jesus identified as his Father's house, and the role of the temple in Jesus' life and in ours throughout our life stages, from infancy and childhood to teenagers to adults to elderhood. The theme of our interfaith grateful gathering this year was also home, which Melissa and I were completely unaware of when we felt nudged to have this be our Advent theme many months back, in the way that God often surprises us by planting the same message in different ways, in different places, to bring our focus and prayers together in a conversation that we could not have coordinated if we had tried. What does home mean to you? Was the prompt that 83 of us submitted answers via our phones to co-create a word cloud featuring love, family, safety, belonging, support, shelter, and more. As we gathered from faith communities across town and acknowledged the seeming scarcity of these crucial elements for many of our neighbors. As an anthropologist and social worker, I think about the changing meaning of home over the course of our lives. What does home mean to a newborn baby, or to parents bringing a child into the world, or to those in their 70s and 80s contemplating what comes next? As a child, what did home mean to you? How did that change when you became a young adult? And when those kids leave for college and careers, what does our home become in our middle age? And as many of us embark on the last chapters, perhaps downsizing to move into safer or more supportive living environments, what does home mean in those new places? For many of us, there are times in our life when we do not experience safety or belonging. Sometimes shelter or family is in short supply. The story of Advent echoes this vulnerability. Mary was a young woman, just a girl, I think now, whose own mother was never mentioned. Where are her parents? How did she have the independence to just get up and leave home after the angel appeared to her? In Luke 1, 26 and 27, 38 through 40 and 56, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. Then he told her all the stuff. Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And they have that whole sequence. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. Who was watching out for Mary's safety, reminding her not to be gone too long or be careful out there traveling? I think of my own daughter, already much older than Mary was at this point, and how she travels so independently while we call out, "Be safe. Watch the weather, be careful," and equip her with protective gear and pray and watch for her safe arrival and return. Mary was someone's daughter, but her mother seemed strangely, sadly to me, absent from the story. No record of Mary rushing to tell her mother of the angel's message. Mary seemed so alone. Or maybe that is the way she remembered it, as she narrated the story to Luke for our benefit, that the relationship that mattered was between her and God, her and the new baby and how she raised him according to the law of Moses, careful to observe all the commandments, to revere the temple and teach him to respect his father and mother. What would have happened if Mary's fiancé rejected her when she came back after 3 months in Elizabeth's home, obviously pregnant, obviously not with his child? There was no guaranteed home for Mary as a single pregnant teenager. The angel didn't say anything about Joseph, whether the wedding would be called off or not, whether Mary would be raising this baby on her own. She said yes, not knowing how it would play out. But as she returned to her own house, surely she thought that she would finish out her pregnancy and give birth at home, like Elizabeth did, hopefully supported by Nazareth's midwife and the women of her hometown. Mary wasn't planning to travel again during her last months of pregnancy or to give birth among strangers far from home. But the empire had its own demands, no matter the hardship it created for those who had no choice but to comply. From Luke 2, verses 1 through 5, in those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. Traveling 75 miles south when Mary was 9 months pregnant, which would have taken about a week, was not a choice soon-to-be first-time parents would have made voluntarily. They weren't trying to fulfill some prophecy or have a destination birth experience with their preferred medical provider. No one wanted to be enrolled on Rome's tax lists, and pregnant women generally do not find travel comfortable. This was compulsory, not chosen. I wonder if she and Joseph discussed whether there was any way around this decree. Couldn't he go without her much more quickly and try to get back in time for the birth? What would be the consequences if they didn't show up to register for taxes? What if they defied the order or delayed or tried to enroll remotely while staying home in Nazareth? Let us pause for a minute to pray for families who are faced with hard decisions, whether to stay or go, whether to cooperate with oppressive regimes or whether to flee. As we consider Mary's predicament, let us especially pray for those who are pregnant and far from home, whose birth plans are disrupted by circumstances beyond their control. Lord, we pray for your presence with vulnerable families far from home, that they would feel your deep love and care, that you would be their home, that you would be their safety, that you would surround them with your love in their distress and uncertainty. We pray that you would provide someone to welcome them in with the kindness of strangers who become family. We pray for shelter and safety for mothers and babies and for those who are their allies and protectors. We especially pray for those families who find shelter in our fellowship hall this winter, that they would feel love and safety and that you would work in their lives to provide a true home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Jesus was born into a kind of homelessness where his parents were displaced from their hometown at the time of his birth. What about the people who come to our towns because of circumstances not of their choosing? Do we welcome them with the warmth of Bethlehem so that at the end of their arduous journeys we bring them into our own home? Can we be a second home for those who have had to leave their home countries or towns so that they find blessing and safety? Jesus' introduction to the temple came when he was just over a month old. Bethlehem was much closer to Jerusalem than their hometown of Nazareth, so that made it easier. I remember when I brought my firstborn to New Covenant, a short drive. I certainly wouldn't have been able to walk the mile to church, let alone 6 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. No wonder the law let them wait for 40 days. It felt significant, that first introduction of a baby to the church, and I myself was eager to be back in the house of the Lord, a place of family and assurance of God's presence. From Luke 2, verses 22 to 23, when the time came for their ritual cleansing in accordance with the law from Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. I wonder if even as a baby, Jesus felt that being in the temple was a kind of homecoming. There was something special about God's presence there. God is not confined to one home, one church, one synagogue, or even the temple. The Christmas story is full of angels showing up in fields and humble houses. But there is a sacredness in the place where people gather to worship, where God has promised presence. Luke's gospel describes Mary and Joseph returning to the temple in Jerusalem every year for Passover. They had their home church, their synagogue in Nazareth, but it was worth it to them to make the journey of several days every year to celebrate Passover in the temple. I wonder how much they did it for themselves, Mary and Joseph's own spiritual lives and religious observance, and how much was to make sure they properly educated their kids. The responsibility of raising the baby Jesus, about whom so much was prophesied, was weighty. They facilitated Jesus' connection to the temple, to Jerusalem. But even so, it never occurred to them that he would stay behind, that as a 12-year-old, he would not tell them that he needed to be with the rabbis, needed to be in his father's house a little longer. In the story Ruth read for us from Luke 2, Jesus indicated that his sense of home was rooted in the temple, where perhaps he felt closest to his identity, not as a carpenter's son, but as a child of God. What was your sense of home as a middle schooler? Did you experience a shift at some point from your parents as home to your own identity, perhaps one that they didn't understand? Jesus was on the cusp of becoming a teenager, that time of life when our understanding of ourselves and our place in the world and perhaps our home is changing. Did you have a church home at that age, a youth group or camp experience that was formative for your faith? I think of the many teenagers who have gathered here over the years, making music and playing games and having deep conversations on youth group trips. Such an important stage in our faith lives, and I am so grateful for those who have served our youth over the years, building relationships, listening, asking questions, and making space for doubt and discovery. After the confusion of 12-year-old Jesus being lost to his parents for 4 days, he returned home with them to finish growing up in their household. From Luke 2, 51 to 52, Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished every word in her heart. Jesus matured in wisdom and years and in favor with God and with people. I was just 14 when I left home in Montana for boarding school in Connecticut. I was incredibly homesick that first year, even as I loved the excitement of learning and experiencing new things. My sense of home was changing, and it was during these years that I relied truly on God as my home, going with me wherever I went, from my beloved mountains to a faraway dorm room, on airplanes and as an exchange student in Russia the fall of my junior year in high school. When my parents moved to South Africa as missionaries, my siblings and I joked that we had become homeless. Instead of returning to Montana on school breaks, we gathered in Seattle at my grandparents', who had always been our Christmas home. There was a sense of freedom, but also being a bit unmoored, connecting to each other by long filaments floating about, each of us carrying our own sense of home and identity. As we think about Jesus at 12 and his emerging identity and changing sense of home, let us pray for middle schoolers whose own identities are emerging and sense of home is changing, thinking especially of those teenagers who are far from home, facing challenges of safety and security and the need for love and acceptance. Lord, we pray for young people navigating their way in this world, the dangers and uncertainties and times when they feel alone. Please become their home, be their love, be their family. Help them to find their identity in you as beloved children, knowing that you are with them wherever they go and wherever they find themselves. Lord, for our youth, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I attended many different churches during my teenage years. None of them was my home per se, but there was always a sense of homecoming, of being in God's presence with God's people. I don't think I imagined I would have a home church again, that after growing up at Solid Rock Church by the Bull River where I was baptized, I would ever have a stable sense of belonging in a church again. And yet now, like many of you, I have found a home at New Covenant for almost 30 years, where we are family, with all the joys and difficulties of family spiritual life. As an adult, I think about Jesus' sense of home and church during his adulthood, short though it was. Lori and Kenneth sang so beautifully on our new recording of our Advent theme this year, "You Did Not Have a Home." Jesus' home was mobile. He stayed with friends and family, but also Pharisees and tax collectors. Jesus depended on the hospitality of a wide range of people. At some point, his mother and brothers had to come to him if they wanted to see him, rather than him returning home to them. He went to many different synagogues wherever he traveled, occasionally returning to his home church in Nazareth and regularly returning to Jerusalem to teach and pray and celebrate feasts and festivals of the Jewish year in the temple. There is a sense in which the temple was Jesus' home, his father's house, as he called it, a house of prayer. The physical location was important, a place to gather, to teach and learn and be healed. And like most of our sense of home or church, it was also complicated. There was political tension, religious disagreements. Continuing to practice their Jewish faith in the temple was not guaranteed under Roman occupation. In the recent memory of the people, the temple had been looted and desecrated. The miracle of deliverance and the lights of Hanukkah in a very dark time had restored the temple as a place of worship. But with the increasing violence of the Roman authorities, Jesus knew that the temple's days were numbered. Their faith could not depend on a particular place to bring offerings and sacrifices, but needed to be rooted in the God of Israel who went with them wherever they went. God who does not need a house, who is happy to dwell with them in tents, who went with them into exile, who was present wherever they were. So Jesus began speaking of the temple of his body, that his presence makes church, and later that our bodies too are temples for the Spirit of God. In our adult lives, why do people go to church? I often find myself wondering as I drive past churches of all sizes and denominations around town or on interstates across the country. What draws people? Why is it important? What do we miss when we are isolated from other believers? Why did Jesus go to church? We can meet God for prayer anywhere, anytime, on mountains and lakes, in our homes and at our work. And we also note that Jesus chose to be in church, to teach in local synagogues, to heal on the Sabbath in the service. When the writer of Hebrews explains how Jesus fulfilled the role of high priest once and for all, so that we no longer need sacrifices at the temple, that did not eliminate the need to gather as believers. Rather, we read in Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25, "And let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds." Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. And so I'd like to take a moment to pray for those in our adult lives who are struggling to find a faith community in which to encourage each other and meet together, and those who are unsure whether they need church or if there is a church they could truly call home. How can we be a welcoming place, a spiritual home that supports people of all ages on their faith journey? Lord, we pray for all those in need of a place of spiritual belonging, a house of prayer with other believers. We pray that you would help them find a home in which they can spark love and good deeds. We pray that we can welcome your people into God's family where they will feel purpose and belonging. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. The last stage of life in need of home, physical and spiritual, is beautifully represented by Simeon and Anna, two prophets in the temple, when young Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple for the first time, from Luke 2, verses 25 to 27, and then 36 to 38. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's anointed. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshipped God with fasting and prayer day and night. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. For both Simeon and Anna, the temple was a home. It was there that God met them and showed them Jesus the Messiah as a tiny baby. What a beautiful intergenerational example of blessing. That is the vision for the house of the Lord. Babies, new parents, adults, and elders all coming together in God's house. How can we be a place of home for young families, where wise elders take an active role in blessing the children and strengthening the parents? When housing situations change in our later years, how can we be a spiritual home where folks can look forward to God's future for them? My initial title for this teaching was The Lord's House, in the sense that God's house is our true home. And as I thought on the ways in which home changes for us at different life stages and circumstances, I landed on the phrase that home is where our heart is. God is our home, wherever we are, whether we have found a church home or whether we are mobile without a known church family. As in Jesus' life, home is a complicated thing, and God's house is not a simple situation. Yet God is present, always calling us home to family, to belonging, to love. May we grow in our sense of home in God's kingdom. May we offer shelter to those in need and a spiritual home for people of all generations. May we love God with our whole hearts and our whole selves and find our true home in God's family, in God's house. Amen.